because I can't talk and chew gum at the same time. We're thankful for the presence of everyone. As Kenny pointed out, we have several visitors with us today. We're thankful for your presence and the opportunity that you have to come and visit with family members and friends. Debbie and I are surprised that we have two friends with us this morning from Zanesville, Ohio, Steve and Beverly Miskovich. They're on their way to Alabama for a wedding tomorrow, and so we're glad that they were able to stop in and see us. It's always good to see them. Steve and I go back to, my late teenage years, so that was a while ago. But we've had some good times together, some adventures, I guess you might say. Of course, this is also Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow, our country will observe Memorial Day, originally designed to honor those who have died in military service and to remember them as well we should as a country. Some time later, we find that people started calling it Decoration Day to decorate the graves of their loved ones who had passed on before as well. And so whatever you might be remembering or whoever you might be remembering today, whether they be a loved one personal to you or whether it be those who died in service to their country to secure our freedoms, we pray that your memories will be fond. I observed some time ago that, as far as life here on earth goes, that we are to revere God and to keep His commandments. And apart from that, I think it's about making memories and cherishing those memories that we have of our loved ones. I was thinking along those lines, of course, quite a bit this week, and came across a passage here in Philippians chapter 1 and verses 27 through 30. And says, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. And as you read that with me, you might think, well, how would you be thinking about Memorial Day and think that that would in some way relate to us? Well, what occurred to me is as we read through here, we see that one of the things that Paul is pointing out is the persecution that he has experienced. In verse 30, he says, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Paul, as he wrote this Philippian letter, was actually in a Roman prison. And he is writing this letter really to encourage the brethren at the church at Philippi. Notice also that he says that in verse 28, and not in any way terrified of your adversaries. You know, many Christians at this point in history had been put to death. Their persecution had been so strong that against them that they had actually died for their faith. Here, the church at Philippi is very aware of the many persecutions that Paul has experienced throughout his ministry, and now he's in Roman custody. As you remember, those who served to the largest degree and made sacrifices to the largest degree. You know, we can sit around and we can be sad about our loss of them, or we can do as Paul is encouraging us to do here, that as we look at their faith and their courage, that we need to realize that the mission goes on. Think about those who have actually been in combat, who saw their comrades die at their side. Were they sad about that? Yes. But the battle goes on, and the cause of freedom endures. And think about those today who serve in the military, who certainly are made aware of the fact that as you have a Memorial Day, you're made aware of the fact that if you serve in the military, it might mean your life. But you do so for the cause of freedom. And if it means your life, then it means your life. And so when he says, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, certainly we are to remember those who have served for the cause of Christ. But we are to remember also that we are to conduct ourselves in a manner that brings honor and glory to God, and for the very cause of Christ, to seek and save the lost. And so I want to think about this passage a little bit with you this morning. It says, let your conduct. The word conduct comes from a Greek word that means to behave as a citizen and to conduct oneself as pledged of some law of life. So the Greek word that this has to do with the responsibilities of citizenship. It'd be a word that would be commonly used throughout the Roman Empire. Our English word politics comes from this Greek word. You can kind of see that in the first part of the Greek word. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. The law of life, if I'm to conduct myself as a good citizen in accordance to the laws of the land, then there is a law that I, as a child of God, am to observe also. That law of life that Christians have pledged themselves to is the gospel of Christ, the good news of salvation that is made available to us in Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's quite a statement. Quite a statement. Christians are citizens of heaven, he says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Well, if that's the case, then what are we doing here on earth? We are citizens of heaven, but we're not in heaven. While on earth, we ought to behave ourselves like heaven's citizens. Whether it be with our husbands and wives, or our children, parents, people that we work with, people we share the roads with, people we share the line and in the stores with, we are to conduct ourselves as a citizen of heaven, in accordance to the law of God in Christ Jesus. If we profess to be a follower of Christ and lay claim to the benefits of the gospel, or conduct our conduct of life must reflect the teachings of the gospel. Not just be teaching the gospel, but being evidence of the gospel living in us. If we claim to be Christians, we need to very simply act like Christians. Likewise, if we claim to be a church of Christ, we must act like one, as revealed in the doctrine of Christ. Notice he says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. In other words, he's saying, This is the main thing he wants them to hear. This is chapter 1, coming towards the close of chapter 1. And so still relatively early in the letter that he's writing to the church at Philippi. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Think about that. Think how all-encompassing that is, that statement. Let your conduct of life, that conduct is governed by a law, the law of God in Christ Jesus. If that is the case, then that ought to be evident by the life that you live. That's what he's saying. Let it always be that way, even when it's not convenient, even when you're persecuted for living that way. What does it take for a church to walk worthy of Christ? Two things are stressed in this passage: steadfastness and unity. He says, stand fast in one spirit. Paul mentions four things that we are to do which manifest these two important qualities. One, stand fast in one spirit. Very literally, that means to stand firm, stationary, persevere, keep one standing. I want you to notice that he is making these statements in light of the fact that they know he's being persecuted. They know he is in a Roman prison because he has preached the gospel of Christ and has stood firm in it. They know that they are experiencing persecution also, and Paul knows that they are experiencing persecution. When he says stand fast in one spirit, he's saying stand firm, remain stationary. It's a military term. Hold the line. You know, if you're in a defensive posture, holding a piece of ground, and you've got, it seems like, overwhelming numbers coming at you, your first thought is, I need to retreat. I need to pull back. But the very best thing to do so many times in order to survive the onslaught that is coming against you is for everybody to hold the line, to stand fast. Don't move. Just keep fighting. And that's what he's saying here. Stand fast in one spirit. You know, the word one is the number of unity. Husband and wife become one flesh. Christians are members of one body of Christ and in Christ. Our unity is to go so deep that we are connected in one spirit. Somebody made a comment. I heard a comment, and I even forget where I heard it now, to the effect that, there are friends, you have friends that you have never met. And I agreed to that and even went to another extent. I've got brothers and sisters that I've never met. And if one is conducting themselves worthy of the gospel and is practicing the gospel of Christ and their love is to revere God and to keep his commandments just as he's given them in his word. If I have that goal in life and I come across someone who has that same goal in mind, you know, we are instantly one. We are on the same track. We share the same goal, the same primary purpose of life. And it's amazing how quick you become one with each other, because you're already one in spirit with Christ. Our individual spirits are united by our innermost conviction. We are only able to stand fast when we are one spirit. I want you to think about those men that are in that position, that defensive position, and it seems like overwhelming numbers are coming against them, and they're told to hold the line, stand fast. What happens if three or four or five or more say, "I'm afraid, I'm running, I'm out of here"? Well, now you've got a hole. Now you're able to be flanked. Now everybody's in jeopardy. Everybody has to stand fast with one spirit of the same mind. We have a common purpose, and we share a common goal. Our common purpose is to live to the glory of God in the performance of His will as it's revealed in His Word. And our common goal is to one day be with Him in that heavenly abode. We are to stand fast with one mind. The Greek word here for mind is the word for soul, and it's translated that way in the American Standard Version. It means to be agreed together, to cherish the same view, to be harmonious. The soul is the seat of the will and purpose of man. What drives you? When everything else is stripped away, when you're thinking about perhaps loved ones who have passed on, and you're in sorrow because they are no longer here, you can no longer enjoy their physical presence. Now, all you have is the fond memories that you established when they were here. Perhaps it's rocked your world. Sometimes we think we've lost our way. And that's when we need to remember, where was our compass set before they passed from this life? Was our compass set on them and being with them? Or was our compass set on Christ and being with Him? Living to His glory. He has said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." We don't enjoy His physical presence. We never have. You and I never have. But we know Him. Jesus told Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Believe because they've heard this word and they've seen the confirmation of this word in the confirmation of itself, the confirmation of the miracles that Jesus performed, the confirmation of His resurrection. Our faith is not a blind faith, it is a verified faith. On what course is your soul set? And when life becomes difficult, remember where your course is, to live to the glory of God, to let Christ be seen in you, to lead others to Him, to seek and save those who are lost. Members of a church must be one when it comes to their will and to their purpose. We must understand what our will is. We must understand what our purpose is. The New Testament stresses unity and oneness among members of the church. We look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. We're familiar with it. "I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." What was going on at Corinth? Well, people were perverting the gospel of Christ. People were bringing in a change to the doctrine of Christ. They were speaking different things. He says, "You all need to be speaking the same thing." And that's not agree among yourselves what you're going to speak. It means agree with Christ that His word is true and live by it. But let there be no divisions among you. Notice also 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Philippians 2 and verse 2 says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And Philippians 4 and verse 2, he even makes a personal address to you, easy for you to say, Euodia and Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Here's two women that, I don't know what their differences were, but he says, you need to be of the mind of Christ. And put your pride aside and be of the same mind. We could even go back to, you know, the last prayer of Jesus before he was crucified was that those who believe on him might be one as he and the Father are one. Paul knew the importance of working together with one mind, and he pointed to Timothy as a trusted friend and co-laborer, even to the Philippians in Philippians 2 and verse 20. We're to be striving together for the faith. We're to defend the faith. We are to know it, trust it, obey it, and defend it. Notice he says, striving together, these two words come from one Greek word, synotheo. To strive at the same time with one another is the definition. To wrestle in company with, to seek jointly. The origin of our English word athletics comes from this Greek word. You'll see here in the first syllable of synotheo, the word son, the prefix of this word means with or together. And so when we're talking about athletics, we're talking about an athletic team. Not athletics where you're competing against each other, but where you are a team working in unison together against a common opponent. Its strength is in the idea of unity. And Paul uses this prefix at least 16 times in this one epistle of Philippians. The church is like a team, and everyone is in their place doing their job. For our purposes this morning, in light of Memorial Day weekend, we might say that the church is like an army. The church is like a company in an army, or a platoon in an army. But it's many people working together in unison with each other. That which we are to strive together for is the faith of the gospel. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1 it says, the Spirit speaks expressly, saying that in latter times some will depart from not their faith, but the faith. There is a standard of faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith is doing the will of God as it's revealed in the Word of God. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, practicing false doctrines, in other words. Some will turn away from trusting the Word of God and will trust their feelings. Jude, verse 3, says, beloved, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting to you that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The faith that was delivered some 2,000 years ago, that was written down for us in the New Testament, is the same faith that we are to practice today. It is referred to as the seed of the Word of God. We don't have to have a line of history that brings us to what we're practicing today. All we have to do is go back to the seed. And as we practice what is written in the Word, we're practicing the very same faith that Jesus delivered to the apostles and the apostles delivered to the people of the first century. We're to not be terrified by our adversaries. Original meaning of the Greek word pertained to racehorses being startled and turning aside. You know, we just ran the Kentucky Derby here a few weeks ago, and you always kind of wonder as those horses are being brought to the starting gate and so forth, and sometimes even in the paddock, you know, when they're out there, you notice that, you know, the commentators will say, well, the horse looks very calm today, or this horse is kind of nervous, it's kind of lathered up, and you kind of wonder what are they spooked about, what are they keyed up about. Maybe it's the noise of the crowd and all of the, maybe the anxiety of some of the trainers and stuff that are around them. You never know. But race horses are kind of high strung, if you're ever around them. They're athletes, and they're kind of always keyed up and ready to go. But they can become startled. If you're around horses much, you know that you have to train a horse not to be startled. And they have to gain a confidence and a trust in you, and their confidence is really in you and not necessarily of their own wits. He says, don't be terrified of your adversary. That takes training, doesn't it? Christ trains us not to be terrified of all of these things that are going to pop up around us. Maybe it's the death of a loved one. Don't be terrified of that. I've got you. You're all right. Remember what David said? I can't be with him, my son, any longer, but I need to live in a way that I'll see him again someday. Living to the glory of God continues on for you. In our stand, we are not to be frightened by anything that our opponents do to us. I want you to notice here with me, in verse 28 says, not in any way be terrified of your adversaries. Now notice, which is to them a proof of perdition. They're just adding to their sin as they terrify you, as they persecute you. That's another sin that God will lay to their charge. But to you, this persecution, it is of salvation, and that from God. There is a danger that some brethren might be tempted to compromise or even fall away from the faith. But we are to stand the line and not turn away. Suffering is a way of life for Christians. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 says, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If you speak the truth, there are going to be those who do not love the truth who are going to speak against you. They're not going to like you. But you need to continue to like them and love them. Show your love for them and continue to speak the truth. Suffering for the cause of Christ is a privilege that has been granted to Christians. You remember when the apostles were brought before the Sanhedrin council and were beaten and then let go. Acts chapter 5 and verse 41 says, when they departed from the presence of the council, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Jesus had told them, they've persecuted me, they will persecute you. They persecuted me because I spoke the word of the Father. They'll persecute you for the same purpose. And they realized at this time that had come true, that the whole reason that they were brought before the council and the whole reason the council didn't like what they said and the whole reason the council beat them and let them go, because they were saying the same things that Christ had said, same things Jesus had said. They were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. Romans 8 and verse 17 says that we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It is something we see in Paul while he was at Philippi. He was beaten and thrown into jail. He certainly had suffered and was suffering this persecution. So we are to be living a life that is worthy and demonstrates the conduct worthy of the gospel of Christ. Think about that. Think about that as we go through, and at least this is what I was thinking about as I was thinking about Memorial Day and I was reading this passage, that Paul is certainly reflecting upon the fact that he's going through persecution, and the church at Philippi knows that he's going through persecution. But he says, you know, I'm not the first one to be persecuted for the gospel of Christ. I might die because of my testimony of Christ and the truth that he is found in the doctrine of Christ, but I won't be the first one. But I'm not going to be quiet. I'm going to stand fast. And Paul is saying to the church at Philippi, I'm going to stand fast with you, and I want you to stand fast with me. Let's hold the line. Let's not compromise the truth. And as we have this word of truth for us today to read, to be impressed with, to practice today, let us hold the line too. Let us stand fast and live to the glory of God. Let us be of one mind with one another, and most importantly with God. Let us be striving together for the faith that is in Christ Jesus. And let us not be terrified of our adversaries. Speak the truth. Always speak the truth. Speak the truth in love, with a desire for those that are hearing it to be saved. We would hope that, screen's going to go a little crazy here for you, but we would hope that today, if you are here and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, that you would take advantage of the opportunity that is presented to you this morning. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to the point that you want to turn from your sins and live for Him, you want to be of one mind with Christ and with those who are in Christ, you want to live that life of righteousness that is revealed to us in the gospel of Christ, then we'd encourage you to confess your faith in Christ this morning. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. And be baptized today for the remission of your sins. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Those on the day of Pentecost, the first time the gospel was preached, were pricked in their heart and asked, what shall we do? And the divine answer was, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Ananias told Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you're ready to do that today, begin living with Him and for Him, everything's ready. And we'd encourage you to let it be known. If you're here today as a child of God and out of favor with Him and need to make things right with Him, let us pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing this song.